Good morning. Today is Monday, the 15th of December. My name is John Endres, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. This is the final risk alert of 2025, and the first risk alert for 2026 will land in your inbox at 7 a.m. on the 12th of January. In this week's risk alert, we begin by assessing the state of the ANC after its National General Council meeting last week, and by looking ahead to its likely path in 2026. We then turn to a recent survey which found that most South Africans reject BEE and racial classification. Staying with the topic, we discuss Communication Minister Solly Malatsi's attempt to enable market entry for Starlink and the ANC's resistance to his efforts. We close with a look at the US-South Africa relationship and the new US national security strategy. But we begin at home with the ANC, which closed out 2025 at its lowest ebb since 1994. While its unpaid employees protested outside the venue of the party's National General Council meeting in Ekurhuleni last week, delegates in the hall recommitted themselves to their current path, while hoping it would lead to a different destination. The party's Secretary-General Fikile Mbalula laid out the stakes in a declaration marked by revolutionary prose, idiosyncratic capitalization, and riddled with spelling errors. Quote, "We understand our struggle to be at a fork road, and thus we can either renew or perish. We can unite or face defeat. We can return to serving the people or betray the NDR." End quote. The ANC appears to be stuck in a time warp. For years now, its conference resolutions and declarations have been recycling the same pious wishes. 3 years ago, in its Vision 2032 document, the party said, quote, "This is a moment for the renewing of our contract with the people who look up to the ANC as a trusted vehicle for genuine transformation of society and effective provision of services." End quote. Last week, President Ramaphosa returned to the well, saying, quote, "Rebuilding a culture of integrity and ethics is central to our renewal process as an organization." End quote. These hopeful wishes for renewal occur against the backdrop of the Madlanga Commission, which is unearthing mounting evidence of links between the ANC, the police, and the criminal underworld. As if to underline the gap between wishes and reality, an ANC statement on Friday noted the arrest of an ANC regional secretary and a municipal office bearer for alleged corruption linked to a municipal tender. The ANC is plainly in need of a turnaround strategy, but is showing little sign of finding one. At the NGC meeting, Mr. Ramaphosa added that the ANC's National Executive Committee had been mandated to strengthen the ANC's capacity to drive progressive policies in the GNU, in other words, policies such as black economic empowerment, expropriation without compensation, the national health insurance, and others, while at the same time, said Mr. Ramaphosa, ensuring the delivery of immediate results on jobs, inclusive growth, tackling poverty, inequality, and fighting crime and corruption. However, these things stand in contradiction to each other. That the party has been unable to square achieving its growth objectives with its progressive policies should give it pause for thought. It suggests that a different policy approach might be more effective. This would include holding underperforming and corrupt officials accountable and choosing to pursue pro-growth policies that would produce the results South Africans consistently tell political parties are their priorities. Above all, these are bread and butter issues such as jobs, service delivery, and tackling crime. Instead, the ANC is seeking to bolster its image by grandstanding in forums like the National Dialogue and the G20 Leaders Summit, and by cocking a snook at the US, one of its largest trade and investment partners. The ANC will use the ongoing diplomatic tensions between South Africa and the US as a rallying point in 2026 and into the local government elections. These measures are, however, unlikely to translate into a massive upswing in electoral support. Through 2026, the CRA will track political polling closely and keep subscribers informed about developments. From here, we move on to the South African Reconciliation Barometer, a survey conducted for the Institute of Justice and Reconciliation by polling company Mark Data in August, which found that most South Africans do not support the ANC's cornerstone race-based policies. Of the 2006 respondents, 54% said BEE policies had gone far enough. 76% agreed that hiring decisions and promotions in the workplace should be based on merit, and 67% believed that race categories do more harm than good. These findings mirror those of other surveys, including by the Institute of Race Relations and the Social Research Foundation. They will reinforce the pressure on the ANC to review the system of race-based laws it has been cultivating and vehemently defending for several decades. Race-based laws are standing in the way of satellite internet provider Starlink's entrance into the South African market. The Communications Minister, Solly Malatsi of the Democratic Alliance, has been working on an equity-equivalent investment program under which Starlink could operate in South Africa without having to find a black empowerment partner as a condition of entry. Last Friday, Mr. Malatsi announced that he had gazetted a final policy direction to the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA, to ensure that the full scope of economic empowerment was properly recognized and applied. Some of the alternatives envisioned as part of such equity-equivalent empowerment investments will be investing in local suppliers, enterprise and skills development, job creation, infrastructure support, research and innovation, digital inclusion initiatives, and funding for small and medium enterprises. Although Mr. Malatsi was at pains to emphasize that the policy direction reinforced regulatory parity with existing service providers, was in line with existing laws and regulations, and did not weaken transformation, the ANC reacted with outrage, accusing Mr. Malatsi of bypassing Parliament and changing laws through directives rather than through legislative processes. The ANC's nettled response shows that it is worried about the risk of a crack in the dam wall, a weakening of core pillars of its system of race-based preferencing that could in time lead to the collapse of the entire edifice. This is a threatening prospect at a time when the party finds itself under considerable electoral strain. From there, we turn to the US, and during a Senate subcommittee hearing last week, US Trade Representative Jamieson Greer referred to South Africa as a unique problem, while Republican Senator John Kennedy said South Africa was our enemy right now, as it was buddies with all of our enemies and had been very critical of the United States. Mr. Greer said that when it came to trade, South Africa had a lot of tariff and non-tariff barriers which the government would have to take care of if it wanted to benefit from more favorable tariffs from the US. The trouble with the Starlink investment, described above, stands as a case in point. Mr. Greer pointed out that the 30% reciprocal tariff currently imposed on South Africa was much higher than those applied to other African countries, and showed himself amenable to Mr. Kennedy's suggestion that South Africa should be excluded from AGOA if the program was to be renewed. Also last week, the White House published its latest national security strategy, a document every presidential administration is required by Congress to release that outlines Washington's foreign policy for the next 4 years. The 2025 document marks a return to the realist approach of the first Trump administration and a departure from the Biden and Obama eras. This is evident in the willingness to re-engage Russia to contain the war in Ukraine and the intent to economically push back against China's rising dominance while avoiding military confrontation. The document includes region-specific priorities. In the Western Hemisphere, Washington seeks to solidify its dominance by preventing outside powers, especially China, from acquiring strategic assets in the region. It urges Europe to take greater responsibility for its own security and maintain military and economic strength to support the US against adversaries of perceived Western values. Asia is framed to influence China's economic behavior rather than as a strategic partner. The document dedicates a mere 212 words out of almost 10,000 to Africa, illustrating the minor importance accorded the region. The Trump administration believes the US has over-prioritized foreign aid and liberal ideology over commercial partnerships. The security strategy signals a shift towards trade and investment-focused relationships with a smaller, select group of African countries that advance US priorities. South Africa is unlikely to qualify as a select partner due to the ongoing political impasse between the White House and Luthuli House. Washington continues to view Pretoria's foreign policy as leaning towards China, Russia, and Iran, despite its claims of non-alignment. The security strategy states that the US will favor, quote, capable, reliable states committed to opening their markets to US goods and services, end quote. But South Africa's investment rules, particularly BEE, undermine confidence. This shift risks South African firms losing access to US project finance and supply chain opportunities, while competitors on the continent attract new investment. The potential upside is Europe's growing interest in deeper ties with Africa. South Africa's favorable relationship with the European Union, amid shared frustration with the US, could help both sides fill the economic gap Washington is vacating. That's it from us for this week and also for this year, and we hope you will have a good break with your nearest and dearest, and look forward to speaking to you again on Monday, the 12th of January.